life is good, yes?
Life is definitely good. Despite, you know, we continue to rise. And yeah. So we continue to find new ways to reinvent, redirect, you know, re-energize, all the re-words, you know, we find ways to recreate ourselves, our environment, our spaces, our lives. And I'm very confident in us as humanity, as people, to be able to do that for ourselves.
Yeah, because even, you know, you can know a state of being, you can stay there for so long, and then even in that, you're like, okay, you know, I might not know what's next, but I know there is a next.
Right.
We understand that the world, as we used to hear when we were younger, the world is not going to stop turning. You know, it's not going to stop evolving. So how's everybody else doing? How is everybody else doing?
Yes, good morning, y'all. Welcome in. We are happy to be back with you this week. Yes, how are you guys? Let us know in the comments. What's up, Mel?
How you feeling?
How are you guys feeling? Let us know. Let us know. We want to know. So next week, new job, right?
Yes, so next week starts the new job, new journey. But I think my intention going in is so focused.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm going to get lost in or anything of that nature. It's very much, I see it as part of the process of where I'm going to versus seeing it as an obstacle or a challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the process of where I'm going to. And so, you know, we used to have a little saying back in the church days, you know, something about like devil get underneath me or get below me or get behind me.
Mm.
But it's just that concept of like those old running thoughts and patterns, security, benefits, da 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 da. And I always say this, but being with you, around you, and being, you have to be in the essence of it, people. You have to be in the essence of what you want. Because if you're never in the essence of it, you can have thoughts about it, but then all your doubts will start to trigger up.
Mm.
But when you're around someone who's living what you want to do, who's breathing what you want to do, you start to say, oh, this is possible for me too. You know, it's possible for me too.
Absolutely. Wow, I love that so much. And I love that you're seeing that as just a stepping stone and part of the journey, because that can be a struggle for a lot of people in wanting to be at step 10 and not being able to appreciate step 2 and 3 to get there, right?
Yeah, right. It's really that, and thank you for the congratulations. It's really, you know, sometimes I talk about to the universe and I'll be putting it out there like, oh, I want this and I want this and I want that. And then I get it. And yet, if I forget that that's what I asked for, when I get it, it's like I have to remind myself, oh, this is what I asked for.
Right.
You know, because then it just feels like another thing to do versus, wait a minute, this is what you asked for. There's a buffer of time and it's showing up now. So just, you know, centering self, getting back in alignment and understanding, oh, wait a minute, I asked for this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did say. I love that. Janelle's in here. Good morning. Some folks are saying that they're feeling good, feeling inspired, looking direction, new things. Yes, yes, yes. Get into the essences, y'all. Get into the essences.
That's why they call them like essential oils, because they get right to it.
It's essential.
Right? It's essential. It is essential to be around something that you aspire to be, because it will rub off on you.
So
you showing up here is part of that process. Or it affirms who you know yourself to be at those times when you're in it, but you forget, you know, you forget your why. You forget why you started, or mm-hmm. you start to feel like you're limited. Get around those people, get around it, so you can go, okay, this is who I am.
I love that. And it's always accessible, right? Like, it's always just kind of a hand grab away one way or another, whether you're hopping into a live, calling a friend, reading a book, you know, you can reach for that at any time. It's accessible.
Always there for you. Well, you know, we talk a lot about our podcast, but your dream and your vision, it never goes away. I am firm and big on that. It doesn't matter what age you are or what stage of life you're in. It never goes away. It's always there for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking to the power of community, right? Totally.
Yes.
Totally. Cool. So last week was our last and final episode for the Decolonize Your Teaching series. And the Decolonize Your Teaching mentorship next round, round four, has launched. You have until May 15th to apply. There's all the information in the bio. But this month is Mental Health Awareness Month, correct?
Correct.
Tell us about that.
So what I love about Mental Health Awareness Month is it really puts the focus on you. This is like a whole month where you can see references in social media on your timeline. They're going to help you kind of, like you said, music that helps you remember who you are, songs, people who help you get to the essence of where you're wanting to be or where you're wanting to go. Mm-hmm. So this month is huge, and I love that it's so publicized now because it really does allow space for people to really say, hey, this is something I want to look into.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And the stigma of it is just really, I mean, from just a few years ago to now, we've seen a huge, drastic shift. From like, you know, I've watched, I think it's called The Therapist on Netflix, on Vice, I think it is, where, you know, famous folks are coming on there, different musicians and musical artists, rappers, et cetera, coming on and talking about, you know, their own issues and talking through them. And I just think that it's beautiful that the conversation is sort of out there and that we are realizing as a collective that everybody's dealing with some type of mental wellness, you know, situation, that everybody can benefit from practices to improve mental wellness. Yeah.
Yes. And when we say that mental wellness, you know, and I love that it's mental health awareness. And I made a post about mental health. You know, a lot of times we grab onto words that I would say like we professionals use, right? So a diagnosis, a term, and we don't really, really kind of understand like the basis of it. So It can be scary to even say mental health. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to have a thing? Does that mean I have to have depression? Does that mean I have to have bipolar? Like, you know, and I say these things, but I don't say them lightly because those are very real ways in which to understand symptoms. Again, you are not a diagnosis. It's
period.
Ways that professionals use to understand your symptoms or experience. How you're getting through in life doesn't mean you're maladaptive. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part about awareness. I love how we're seeing a lot of athletes talk about mental health as well.
Right.
And just acknowledging that there's so much goodness in talking it out and getting support.
Absolutely. Right. Like just the mere talking it out in the many calls that I've had with you of just like, yo, I'm having a moment, like, and you just being able to be there to talk through that with me and help me see things that I didn't see and, you know, show me maybe some strengths that I wasn't looking at or observing. And that those can be really important to hold on to in a moment when you're feeling, kind of at the mercy, right? Like to feel that you still have some power and control and agency over your situation or how you feel or what you can do, that you can take action to improve the way that you're feeling. Whether that's, you know what, fuck it, I'm canceling everything and I'm gonna sleep. Or it's like, you know what, I'm about to light this incense and put on this music because I'm feeling a low vibration right now and I want to lift that up. Or I need to go outside and breathe some air, right? Or I need to maybe limit the amount of time that I talk to so-and-so person or whatever, that identification first of like, well, what is it that I'm feeling and why am I feeling this? And then what can I do? Like you always say, to just reach for that relief, not necessarily I need to get better or like this needs to improve right now, but where's the relief that I can reach for that's accessible to me right now?
Yeah, you know, you said it, Ange, when you talked about at the mercy, you know, we are really not taught the ways of emotions growing up.
Mm.
And you're almost taught, like you said, that you feel that you're at the mercy of them. And so that's why I like what we're talking about today about your brain on yoga, because now the science is backing up, right? All the findings that we're having. Yes, I've heard that phrase. It's not what you have, it's what you do. I really love that. Yes, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. you know, as you're getting through life, but you do feel you're at the mercy. And then if you don't have people around you that allow for a healthy expression of emotions, or are scared by your expression of emotions, you know, what happens is we talk about that disconnect. So internally, you have a process going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your brain is emitting like hormones and neurotransmitters, and it's creating a feeling on the inside. But when your outside either doesn't allow for that expression or give you a safe place, and you have congruence. So I'm feeling anxious on the inside, but everybody around me is saying, what are you worried about?
Uh-huh.
Man, what's your problem?
Right.
What's going on? You're too sensitive. You're this, you're that. What starts to happen is that we then have a slow disconnect from what's going on inside and what we are logically having to process on the outside.
Wow.
And I call that, that's that disconnect between your authentic self,
like
who you were truly born as. You know, you're really truly born as an individual that has an unconditional positive regard for self.
Okay, wait. Stop. Halt. I need you to repeat that phrase.
We are all innately born with an unconditional positive regard for self.
Damn. Whew.
No judgment in how we show up when we are born.
That is beautiful. Judgment. An unconditional positive regard for self. That's innate. That's within. That's
what you come in with.
That is
your essence.
Damn, Nicole. I knew we was gonna have the Carter effect today. I knew it. I knew the Carter effect was going to be.
I don't know what the next thing going to be, so we're going to set the tone today.
Yes.
And,
wow.
And that's been my work, and I think because I've had 2 weeks off, a lot of things have been coming up for my daughter, and she's 9, that have made me sit in things, and I can see where there's a disconnect with her, and so it reminds me of where it started for me. It shows me how I may have inadvertently contributed to her disconnect, which is, you know, well, I have to go spend the weekend with my dad every other weekend, right? I had to hop off and write that down.
Girl, I'm trying to tell you.
We will pin that. We are all born with the unconditional positive regard for self. And so the only thing we're scared of when we're born is loud noises and like height changes. If you've ever noticed a baby between a step, it will look over and it will, it has some awareness like, oh, that's not the same. So loud noises are things babies react to, and then height changes. So a fear of heights, that's something, you know, oh, that doesn't look stable, and loud noise. Other than that, you know, you look at the baby, you smile at the baby's cool with it. Like, it doesn't, you know, I've heard that your baby doesn't go, look at how fat I am, look at how many bowls I have. A baby, you're never going to get a baby that's like, oh, me, right? Now, we do know that there are babies that are born with sensory, right? Sensory processes that are going on. So intensity is, they're really sensitive to intensity of things. But we're all born with, and that's what happens, we get conditioned. So then on the inside, if you're one of those kids who was raised where you didn't have to kiss people you didn't want to kiss, you didn't have to hug people you didn't want to hug, you're more prone to stay within yourself.
Yes.
But if you were a kid that was like, no, you're gonna kiss this person, you're gonna like this person, go say nice, go do this, go do that, which, you know, again, we talked about Golden Buddha.
Yeah.
And we talked about the generation before us. If that's what you're taught to do, you just pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're in a different time. We're in a different time where we're starting to understand, like, wait a minute, if I'm feeling this on the inside, and then the caretakers are the important people on the outside tell me to disregard that.
Oof.
Either I'm wrong or they're wrong. But when we're babies, we're dependent on them.
Right.
So to make them wrong would be to make ourselves scared of them, and that's where we're fucked.
Yeah.
Right?
So we learn to disregard our own innate intuition, feeling, etc.
You just get conditioned away from those innate, intuitive, you know, impulses and messages and information.
Wow.
You know, and it's nothing, again, I don't, you know, I'm not big on going into the closet and and getting all the bad stuff that's happened. Mm-hmm. You can recognize it now as you show up. My daughter is struggling with something. Internally, she's going through something, and she has adults saying, this is the visiting schedule.
Mm.
Well, it's time for the adults to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm not going to do is tell her what you're feeling is wrong.
Right. Or not to honor that feeling.
And I'm not going to honor that it's gotten so loud in her internal self that it's now coming out.
Mm.
I'm crying. My stomach is upset all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
Her whole body is like, we got to do something.
Yeah, like, we're not, nope.
We got to do something.
Yeah.
They're not seeing it. You know, they think everything's fine, and everything's not fine with her.
Mm.
So, you know,
I love that.
I had to witness her not being okay and see how I disconnected.
Mm.
And so my story was, I lived with an aunt. My mom struggled with substances, so there was no your mom's coming back for you. So Nicole had to turn it off and make the best of what was.
Mm.
And when you talk to make the best of what was, the best of what was, the best of what was, and know that what you really want to be with my mom is never going to happen, I unfortunately did the same thing. Mm. So on her visits, you know, I never would be like, I miss you, and because I didn't want her to get upset.
Mm.
So I never would be like, I miss you, and this is hard, and you know, and now she's 9, and I feel like it's all too much. It's like, hey, lady, she be texting me on the regular. Do you miss me? I miss you. And now I'm realizing, oh, shit.
Mm.
Yes, I miss you. I've always missed you. I'm sorry I didn't express that to you.
Mm.
I'm always thinking about you when you're not here. You know, I
have
to struggle with disregarding my own feelings a lot. It's a tight line with what is valid fear and what is me being unnecessarily defensive.
Mm.
Okay, so I want to soften that up a little, and I really, really thank you. I really, really thank you for typing that in this public forum.
Yeah.
And so I'm here to show up and serve, so I want to soften that just a little, okay? So when we say struggled with disregarding my own feelings a lot, what we have just, you know, discussed is that on some level, we're all conditioned to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in class, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to raise your hand, get permission, and you can be told no.
Right.
That's a disregard of your own feelings. I have to go to the bathroom, and you go tell me no, hold it. It starts very, very early.
Mm.
And it's a tight line with what is valid fear and what is me being unnecessarily defensive.
Mm.
So this is what how I want to soften that, is that in your brain, all fear is valid.
Hmm.
Your brain does not have a sense of humor. Your brain doesn't have a sense of humor. It's like, it's literal. It don't have no sense.
It's
of
math.
Humor. If you tell me, if I have a feeling that I should be scared, and especially if I've been in an environment and grew up where I wasn't allowed to really, really act that out, as you get older, your body will get stronger at trying to get your attention, okay? So there is no such thing as invalid fear. That's something we hear, and I don't like that because I think it, again, blames the victim. It kind of says, like, well, you should know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
But my internal,
my
internal system is saying it's very real.
Right.
So if I tell you, come on, Ange, come on. Like, come on, it's a church. Come on, get over it. Okay, get over it. Okay, I won't call you next time, Nicole. Okay, if then it says me being unnecessarily defensive. So when I hear unnecessarily defensive, what I'm hearing is you've got biochemistry gearing you to be defensive, but you're trying to override it with your rationale.
Mm.
And so I would say to soften that up and just to become aware, like, I'm really getting defensive.
Mm-hmm.
So check in with the physical internal state.
What's going on right now? That
am I getting heat in my chest? Something I like to ask myself all the time is, what does this remind me of?
That's a big one.
What is this reminding me of?
Because that's that trigger, right?
You got it. So what is this reminding me of? Now, Now, once I do that, my brain, which your brain is like Google, it loves a job. So when you start to ask it questions, what does this remind me of? It'll start sorting and going through. And then you can feel for that resonance. And sometimes, it, you know, we think it takes long, but Google, you hit the button and
girl, I have a small story about this exact example, okay? Last week I had my period, and on Friday, on day two, that shit body slammed me and put me the fuck down. Okay. I was out. I was done. I woke up with a menstrual migraine. It was not a good look. It was terrible. I slept the entire day. And so I was at my boyfriend's house at the time when it started, and I was just clearly fucked up. Right. But he had his things that he was doing, working in the yard, whatever, whatever. Okay, cool. So, he has to go do whatever. So he takes off. And, by the time I wake up, he's gone. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to head to the house. So I go home, and, the whole day I'm feeling like on the low, I'm feeling frustrated. Like, well, how come he's not here taking care of me, or like being, you know, like being in my space while I'm feeling this shitty way? Like, I feel like if he cares, he should be here with me while I'm feeling shitty. Right. So underlyingly, this is going on throughout the day as I'm thinking about it. And as it comes now towards the nighttime, I still haven't heard anything from him. Like no check in, like, hey, how you doing? Whatever. And I'm feeling kind of like hurt about it. Right. So I'm like, I kind of went to what you said of just like, what does this remind me of? And I didn't ask myself that specifically, but I was like, man, I can relate to that. I felt this way when I first moved from the States and I was going through a rough time, and I felt like no one was there to go through that with me. And I was like, damn, this has nothing to do with him. And so by the end of that night, what I decided was, you know what? Why? He's got his own things to do. If this was the opposite situation, maybe he's had a long day. And I shifted my focus from being so centered on my feeling and that all of that to being considerate for him, right? So the thing that I wanted for myself, I displayed for him instead. So I called and was just like, hey, you know, how are you doing? How was your day? And he was like, I was going to call you once I finally got home. I just got home. I've been working all day. It's been a crazy day, you know, all of that, because I know deep inside, like, he's not trying to, he cares about me, right? Yeah. So, exactly. So, and he, you know, he left me alone so that I could rest. It wasn't like, I don't want to check on you. It was like, I don't want to disturb you while you're resting, because I know you need that rest. And that was like a moment for me, because that was me responding in a completely different way than I normally would have based on a trigger from the past. And I shifted that and was able to respond differently and had a completely different outcome that was extremely positive. And I was proud of myself for that, but just like taking a moment to be like, let me look at this from another perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And you know, you and I have talked, you know, there are some experiences that we have early in life that are just left a very strong imprint.
Yeah.
They, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to be crippled by them.
Right.
But they have left a very strong imprint.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can, in the moment, you said a lot of valuable things, which is, I paused.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I felt myself. You know, we look at our emotional scale. I was there. So I was like, you know what? This is inconsiderate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even care. Okay. This is where I'm at. Okay. What can I reach for? Because I'm not going to get to a lot of the best. Let me just reach. And in that process, it became something like, what, you know, what is this? Because it's a familiar feeling. So mm-hmm. It's like, what is this, right? You went back to a time that you can't change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can go back and change that time, but you understand, you said in the moment, wait, this has nothing to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is huge. That awareness in relationships, in jobs, in your personal life. Not, I don't want to say it's about taking ownership for everything, because I don't know your relationship. Maybe he really does bounce out on
right,
you.
Right, right,
right. If there's a pattern of that, you might really be like, no, disappeared.
Right. That's a whole different story. Right.
But being able to be aware that, like, this really is coming from me, because you had no evidence from him to support the thought that he doesn't care. That's when you start to, maybe that's also when you can know. When you're like, oh, he doesn't care, you can internally feel that doesn't jive. So that's when you can say, okay, it's like a detective. Mm-hmm. Okay, that didn't check out. Well, what else could it be?
Right.
Just asking yourself that question. Mm. What else could it be?
Mm.
What else could this be?
Mm-hmm.
What else could this be? Well, this could be that, da, 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 da. And then you start to, you'll feel a sense of relief.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really want to love that person, because you know that person loves you. So mm-hmm. now you have relief from that. And now you've moved to a place where now you can make a conscious choice.
Right.
Of how do I help myself in this moment on this feeling?
Yes. There's some comments here back a little bit. Mel says, I love that everything technically makes sense in the context of where it comes from. I think she was talking about, I don't remember, but it seemed to be in alignment. All right. Nay Don't Play says, yes, I definitely tell myself get over it a lot. So I love that you said that switching up the internal dialogue is key. 100%. And Mel says, in relation to my story, it's cool that you were able to see his behavior from a different perspective too. He actually wanted you to rest and wasn't trying to be an ass. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was such a moment for me. And that was a moment where I felt growth, right? In the midst of this struggle of this being in pain, right? And when you're in pain, you know, you want to take that to somebody else. Like, that pain, I didn't necessarily want to just deal with it on my own.
You don't want to be in it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really that the truth, the full matter is, if you're in pain and somebody looks like they're having a good time, it's...
What you laughing for?
It is the worst. So, you know, and this is part of your brain. So your brain will do things like send a slick text message.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain will... And so this is what I want to talk about mental health, because I think people then think it's their personality, there's something wrong with them, but I really want to acknowledge and help us understand, this is the way your brain is designed. Your brain is designed, you have an aspect of your brain called the amygdala that is designed to look for threat and perceive danger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not feeling good, and I start to perceive danger that this person doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is that? Well, then that's a threat to me. That's a threat to my well-being,
mm-hmm.
my emotional well-being. And mm-hmm. then the brain starts to, so then Google, it does not, your brain, this part of your brain doesn't, pre-process the brain, like, what? He doesn't care. Bring up the file. And you start thinking about all this time. He's late. He didn't call. It just does what you tell it to do, right? It just goes where you go. And so you being able to say, like, yo, like, man, this is just really reminding me of that time. Again, you can't go back to that time with your parents or your grandparents. But what you can do is you make the conscious choice to not let the past affect your present. Right?
Correct. Correct.
And that's what I really like about yoga. Your brain on yoga.
Yeah, transitioning.
Yoga. What you're doing is you're creating a practice of not reacting, but giving yourself the calm and knowing, yes, we are going maybe to go into a stressful pose, or we are going to allow ourselves to sit in it. You know, I know with yoga, like, I've done it all of 2 times, but you hold poses, right? There's no, okay, and this and this and that and that. You have to hold it. You have to sit in it. And so when you sit in something that could be uncomfortable, and yet you sit with it a little bit longer, your brain doesn't go, oh, my God, this hurt. This is horrible. Da, 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 and you practice regulating yourself with breath. That practice then helps you in life.
Yes.
So you were able to go, like you said, I didn't ask that question, but you did what you might have done on the mat, which is, wait a minute, you know, I know this feeling. Mm. I know this pose. I have been here before.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this is not going to necessarily kill me, because that's what the brain, it's a threat. It's perceived threat and danger. Let me put this into some context.
Mm-hmm.
And so now your brain learns, and your brain is like, we call it neuroplasticity. It learns new ways to handle feelings of loneliness.
Mm.
So when I was 8 or 9 and I felt lonely, and no one did anything, you know, but I wanted to cry out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to yell. I wanted to tell people I'm not happy. Problem. But slowly, now here I am, all by myself on my period, feeling lonely. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. And if, this is not about saving yourself. Like you said, well, I did the work, and, you know, basically it wasn't him, it was all me, da, da, da. You know, because I don't want that rhetoric.
Right.
This was about your mental health. Mm-hmm. Like, you said the words, I was proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was proud of myself, because in that, what's the alternative? Let's play down the route where you text me like, oh, so, you know what, since you didn't come tonight, how about you don't come ever?
Right.
You know, what's the alternative? So, I love that you said, I'm proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think community, I want us all to just really hear that. I love that you said out loud, I'm proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want that to be a takeaway for us today.
Mm.
Because it's in those moments where, you know, we're not kids anymore, we don't have teachers giving us gold stars, that we need to tell ourselves, I'm proud of myself right
mm-hmm.
now.
And you know what, too, like, in with that, being proud of, like, choosing, making a different choice, and it being a harmonious choice that contributed to the health of not only myself, but my relationship, that I'm now more encouraged to continue that behavior.
Yes, because the brain goes wild. That works.
Yes.
It's just like yoga practice. You do it, and then you feel good, and then you do it, and you feel good. Your brain goes, oh, this works.
Mm-hmm. You know, despite the challenge that may have been associated with it, to know that I can breathe through this, right? I can breathe through this pose and get to the other side, or I can filter through this emotion and get to the other side. And yeah, I mean, I'm big on yoga off the mat, you know, and taking what you learn and bringing it into real life. And I love the way you broke that down to really show this is a parallel, right? In how we can manage ourselves and our mental wellness and health on the mat and in real life.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like I said, we're not taught that we have something called the stress response. You know, imagine if you would have just been taught early in life you have a stress response. And I always refer to that as the lizard brain. And I always.
Oh, you got the whole lizard with you.
Right? And he's like, you know. The lizard brain sits there, and your stress response is fight, flight, or freeze. So anytime that amygdala, I like to call it a fire alarm, anytime that thing goes off, this part of your brain kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Do I fight? Do I flee? Or do I freeze? You know, and this is, we don't get taught this. So then when you have a reaction, you're told you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
You're told you're loud. You're told you're angry. They give it a emotion, and so now we get scared almost of emotions, right? Or you have the opposite where people ride their emotions and they say, I'm all emotional because it doesn't feel good to be denied. So then they just take it off. Like,
right.
Oh, you want to be emotional? We go to emotional.
Right.
Right? And that's okay. But your fight, flight, or freeze response is your lizard. It's your amygdala. Your brain is set up to protect you first. And then think later.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain, your whole system is set up. I talked about it last week.
Yep.
Your whole system is set up. You're walking along the path. Something looks like a stick, snake. You don't know what it is. Your body will jump first.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at it and go, oh, that's a stick. Because if you hesitate, you could.
It could be the end.
It could be the end.
Right.
So when you snap at people, when you have such a quick reaction and people say, why did you do that?
Mm.
After the fact, you're going to try to rationalize it. You'll say, oh, I did it because this, and, you know, I was, but that's not the truth. You know what happened is your amygdala got triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Something in this environment scared me, but we're not allowed to say I got scared.
Mm.
We've not been told to say I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or I felt threatened. Or
I feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then understand that, you know what? And then laugh it off a little bit. Like, oh, wait a minute. But okay, so we cool. You know, then you take it all personal. Or now you're in your feelings. An emotion really truly is a chemical reaction that's happening. And if we have the experience of that chemical. Emotions are like alcohol. They're like
yes, I love this analogy.
Vodka, rum, So as you consume these things, you have the experience. That's why Tanqueray make you way different than tequila. Tequila make you way different than wine. Wine makes you, it's a substance. So emotions have a chemical component that impact your system in
Come
a
on.
Different way as well.
Come on.
So we're not taught that a lot of these times emotions are occurring not because we want them to occur, but because our body has said, hey, you know what? The best thing to do right now is be angry. And that's why you'll say, I don't know. You'll say, oh my God, I don't know why I did that.
Yeah.
And then people beat you up about it because you're supposed to know. You should have the answer. And the reality is this thing kicked in.
Right. So let's talk about how do we space out that gap, right? Like, how do we create space between the reaction and choose, and instead of reacting, choose to respond, which are two different things, right? Reaction and response. You want to be able to respond to something, not react to something. So when we talk about I'm on the trail, how can I keep myself calm when I see a stick and wait to figure out, well, is this a stick or is this a snake? And what do I do next? Because being calm in any situation is going to be of benefit to you, no matter what kind of situation that you're in. Because when emotion starts to cloud, then you can't see things as clearly, right? And that has to dissipate in order to figure out, okay. So, and then talk about that, and then talk about how that parallels to yoga, you know, meditation, et cetera, and how those things help to space out that gap.
Yes, beautiful. So when we talk about things like how do we stay calm, you have to acknowledge on some level that's not in your control. That part, I've got to stay calm. Now you're already amping your system to look out for, well, why would it be calm?
Right.
And your brain now starts to look for, well, why wouldn't I be calm? So you've now told the amygdala, sensitivity meter, kick up. So the first thing we have to do, because, you know, when you were a kid and you cried out, nobody told you to calm down. They said, what's wrong? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Is your diaper full? Nobody tells a crying baby to calm down.
Right.
There is a reason. So we have right now, when I have a feeling on the inside and then I don't have adults that go, oh, there's a reason for that, then I don't believe myself. So telling yourself to calm down, that's not the first route. The first route is accept that my brain and body are working.
Come on. Acceptance. Acceptance.
Your first level is acceptance that I'm going to jump at things, but I know if I jump at things and I accept that I got a little flustered, I'm sweating right now, right? Let's say you're speaking in front of people. I'm sweating. I'm nervous. I'm stumbling over my words. If you accept that, what you can do is then get to an awareness. So acceptance is the first piece.
Wow.
Your brain is doing what it's supposed to do. It's protecting you.
And you're validating yourself, right? In that moment too, like validation of self.
That internal sense. So if you jump, don't get mad at yourself for jumping. If you're walking and something says don't go down that street, don't go. These are the ways we start to accept and acknowledge that we have a sensory, you know, guidance system.
And also, like, come into further alignment, right? Like, practice that alignment and be more trusting of our intuition, be more trusting of ourselves, because we're saying we're validating ourselves, because we're accepting of the emotion or whatever that's running through us. And that allows us to be more in alignment versus that dissonance that you talked about earlier, right?
You could have very much been like, oh, well, I'm on my period, I should just handle this by myself. But you really accepted. You accepted, I'm feeling this way right now. You didn't deny it. You didn't try to push it away. You didn't try to, this is just part of being a woman and I just gotta get over it. You were like, in your acceptance, there becomes an awareness and a willingness to kind of get a little more curious about it. So acceptance is the first thing. And when you're not taught these things, you have a thought, your body has a reaction, and then the emotion, which is the chemical, kicks in, and then we get swept up, like you said, in the emotion, the chemical, and we really forget to acknowledge that this thing is working.
Mm-hmm.
So your brain is designed to keep you safe, okay? Mm. So that's why I say invalid fear, no such thing. Now, if you say, Nicole, I want to learn how to turn my sensitivity meter down.
Mm.
I want to, you know, I don't want it to be triggered so often. You know, that's what we talk about, therapy, mental health awareness.
Right.
So the beautiful thing about yoga, and I was watching some documentaries last night, just doing my studies, is that they have found that yoga interrupts the stress response.
Mm.
So what yoga does, and I loved, you know, when we did the Kemetic yoga,
yeah,
because we said a very powerful thing, which is in Kemetic yoga, it's one of the first practices that actually has you stop and become aware of how you internally,
mm-hmm,
in state of mind, feel in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas other things are progression and blah, 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 blah. But to stop and notice, you know what, being mad at him doesn't feel good.
Mm.
Being mad at him, I don't feel that's the match to what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've done it, you know, you have a practice, you have a strong practice of interrupting your stress response.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what yoga does. And so we talk about the sympathetic and the parasympathetic,
right,
nerve system. So what you learn in yoga is you learn the value and benefit of slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
You learn the value and benefit of not calming down. But, you know, it is what it is. Your emotion starts going. And I say that because I'm a sensitive person to calm down.
Yeah.
I don't like to tell y'all just calm down. But, you know, you're invalidating my experience right now. Because internally something's happening. So for you to tell me to calm down is like telling me to don't listen to myself. So, and we don't do that to kids. We ask kids, what happened? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, who did it?
Right.
I used to tell my daughter all the time, who did it? That tree did it. You know? Yeah, so we talked about the traumatic yoga. I love it because it gives you a moment to pause, reflect, but then take awareness of the change.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not aware of the change, then you're in the throes of the chemical reaction and now you're just reactive. So if you can pause. So yoga does that. It helps you practice ways in which we can interrupt the immediate stress response.
By slowing down
and accepting.
Mm.
I just had a big, whoa, get curious. You know, my favorite, I like to get curious. That was big.
Mm.
Whoa, what changed? Whoa, that came on suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about our impacts in here. Some of that's not me. I was cool. Whoa, what just happened? And understanding that's not my stuff. That is clearly somebody else's stuff, you know.
Somebody said in here that acceptance can be so difficult sometimes.
Yeah, tell me more. And I would agree.
I agree.
It's difficult sometimes because it can be embarrassing. It can be, if it hasn't been nurtured in you, it can be foreign.
Mm.
It can feel like, if I accept it, then on some level I'm saying there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit more about acceptance because, again, you were born with unconditional positive regard for self.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when we go against that knowing, we suffer.
Mm.
When we go against that knowing, we have to have anxiety.
Come on.
Because we're not listening to ourselves. We're not honoring ourselves.
Mm.
It's okay to do things shaky.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to get up and give a presentation sweating bullets. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay.
And sometimes, at least for me, like, you know how... some people will say, man, I'm sweating bullets right now because I'm so nervous. Owning that, right? Accepting that, that helps you calm down. And I think for others as well, it puts them at ease too, because they're feeling your tension and your stress and all of that. And when you let them know, yo, I'm nervous as shit right now, it kind of diffuses the whole energy in the room, right? Like it speaks to just what's there. And even if it's in a relationship, like, you know, we are sensitive and we do feel energy. So if I'm feeling a way and my boyfriend's in the same room with me and I haven't said anything, he can feel what I'm feeling. And, you know, we just both feeling each other. Then he feels my awkwardness. I'm feeling his awkwardness, feeling my awkwardness. And it's just better to just be like, you know what? I'm feeling like a little weird right now. And I'm not really sure what that is, but I'm just putting it out there because I know my vibe's a little off right now.
Right.
And that at least just can, you know, and that's part, at least for me, of that acceptance and just speaking it and like putting it out there so it doesn't own you, you know?
And when you get to the acceptance, I like to call it letting people off the hook and letting yourself off the hook.
Mm, I love that.
You say things like, man, I'm really, you know, I'm really nervous right now. I might stutter a little bit. You've now told your system, ha, 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 you're not going to beat me. So
yeah.
I accept that you're delivering the system. And then the second you go from acceptance, your brain almost goes, okay, well, then now what?
Right.
Okay, so you've accepted you're nervous. And your brain is always about what's next. So now what? So now what? So now what? Are you nervous? So now what? So now what? So now what? So now what? So then I'm like, okay, I'm nervous. I'm hit the thing right now. I'm gonna hit this thing. Whatever. And then like my brain goes, oh, right? So once you accept where you are, you can get to the what's gonna help me. So man, I'm really nervous right now. So what, you know, oh, okay, so she's nervous. Oh, wait, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, let's take a deep breath together, you know?
In your brain, once you get to the acceptance, there's no more resistance, there's no more denial. And now your brain opens up in a way that says, oh, but what she really wants is to deliver this amazing information. Mm-hmm. What she really wants is to be of service to her community right now. What she really wants. But all that gets blocked if you don't accept who you are.
In a given moment, right? In Nicole, that's so deep.
Your brain then opens you up because your heart has intelligence. Your heart knows what you want. Your heart knows how to get there. Mm. But if you don't accept it, you disconnect from here, from your heart to here.
Wow.
This is not talking.
Wow.
This is not, and so it's a fight.
Wow. That you can stand there in a neutral place.
Yeah. Either you'll either flood into compassion well, yeah, Nicole, you saw it that way because it kind of looked like that. Mm. Or you'll jump into curiosity. Well, what else could it be? Mm. But there's no judgment. There's no, you need to calm down. Mm-hmm. Get this together. Mm-hmm. You need to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Don't be taking your stuff out on other people.
Right.
There will be no judgment. There will just, you either fall into curiosity or compassion.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep. I love what you said a little earlier just about that you're not accepting, you know, these titles and these different things. You're accepting yourself in the experience that you're having. That is so powerful. That is so powerful because it kind of kills everything. It kills everything off and just says, I'm gonna love me through the experience that I am having. And I'm going to keep breathing through the experience that I'm having.
But you do, you show up for yoga and you do it. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, oh, yoga's good for me for this. And yoga makes me feel this. So you have all these positive associations with that. You know, and we have not been taught to be accepting of our emotional selves. Mm-hmm. And so we fight and we resist.
And I'll tell you what, you'll get to a class, or you might have been in a class where you go and you think that you're going to get one type of thing. This happened to me recently. And you get something else that you didn't really necessarily want. And now you're in it. Now you're there. You got to do what you got to do. And so that's also a very powerful moment of like dealing with expectation. Of like, I expected this class to be this type of class, and now it's not this type of class. So now I'm upset because this is not the thing that I wanted.
Yeah.
And so then goes the, like you said, the acceptance. Well, this is where I'm at. This is what it is. So what are you going to do? Okay, you have options.
Yes.
You can choose to just go into a restful pose anyway, because that's what you wanted. So you can choose rest. You don't have to do this thing. You can choose something different for yourself. Okay, there's one option. Another option is you can breathe and go through it. Go through with it. Okay, this is not ideal. This is not exactly what I wanted, but guess what? I can breathe and keep going through. And in the moment when I feel like I need rest or I want to back off of that, I can also choose that. So I'm still in control of how I respond to this situation, even though it's not exactly what I expected it to be. And so this is so true in so many situations, right? In our life, relationships, work, friendships, etc. Okay, this isn't exactly what I expected, but here are the choices that I have and how I can respond that are going to be the most positive for me.
Here's how I can accept how I'm showing up. Mm-hmm. Here's how I can accept me. You know, I think, to speak to what you're talking to, Antoinette says, where do you draw the line between acceptance and tolerance of mistreatment? And that's kind of on that same spectrum, right, of showing that you have an expectation, mm-hmm. right? And then it's different. And so when we're talking about acceptance, we're talking about self-acceptance in this moment. So we're not talking about anybody else.
Right, right, so right.
If you're experiencing mistreatment, then you got to accept on some level. I have either invited, allowed, have unconsciously put myself in a situation. But what you have to accept, or what I'd like you to start accepting, is the truth of it. Does it feel good to you? Does it not feel good to you? And if it doesn't feel good to you, if this is not about the other person right now, it's not about the other person. It's just telling yourself the truth about yourself. This doesn't feel good.
Right.
This doesn't feel good. And not coming off that.
Right.
The rational brain will then go, you know, I've been at a job where I'm like, I don't like this job. Benefits, Nicole. Schedule, Nicole. This, Nicole. You got a 3-year, Nicole. I did that for years, y'all. Mm-hmm. So when you notice and you acknowledge, like, this doesn't feel good, but you keep going and tolerating something, get ready for some headaches, get ready for some bowel issues, get ready for distraction,
dis-ease.
Get ready. So again, which is not about accepting tolerating mistreatment. When I say acceptance, I'm talking about being able to fully accept that you find yourself in a situation that, you know, maybe you, you know, I've worked with a lot of women in domestic violence who never would have dreamed this for themselves.
Right.
And my big thing is never about you wanted this. It's not even like, oh, you manifested this on it. Because sometimes we're so unconscious of this guy. We're not taught. We are not taught how to work with this. Nobody teaches you. Yes, you have that experience, but you can breathe through it. Mm-hmm. You can stretch through it. You can get quiet through it. And that's what yoga does. That's what yoga does. It gives you an experience where you have, you could go to stress response, but you don't. Mm-hmm. And so then different chemicals get released in your body. You have a sense of pride in yourself and you start to recognize, well, if I could do it there, maybe.
I can do it over here. Right. Right. And I think, and we have about a minute left and we can hop back on to finalize if we need to, but essentially, you know, like just going back to that, okay, I've accepted it. This is how I'm feeling. This is my experience. This doesn't feel good. Now, what are my choices? What choices can I make now to get into, to move into a space where I do feel good?
Yeah.
Right.
Acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. Because when you were first born, you completely accepted yourself. Go back to that. Go back to accepting yourself.
Wow. Thank you so much, Nicole. This has been an incredible, incredible conversation. Wow. So many gems. We love you. We appreciate you. Catch this on our podcast. I will be uploading and sharing it to our story soon. Thank you so much. We love you. Bye, y'all.